Hey, as you grab a seat, grab a Bible if you would, and find in that Bible Ephesians chapter 5. If you don't have a Bible with you, you can grab one in a seat somewhere nearby and just get that open to the book of Ephesians chapter 5. As we begin and as you settle there in God's Word, let me just give you a glimpse of some things God is doing around the world. This past week, I had the great privilege to travel with our church planting collective that our church is part of to the Middle East. We spent 2 days in Lebanon and then flew to Istanbul, Turkey for 4 days and then home. The first 2 days, we were meeting with church planters outside of Beirut and encouraging them as they were finishing a 7-month church planting training that they have been in. Most of these were refugees from Syria who had fled during the civil war there and whom Jesus had powerfully saved. They had been exposed to the gospel. They had believed on Christ, and then over time, the Lord made clear that he was calling them to be trained to take the gospel back into cities and villages where the gospel has not yet been proclaimed. And so they were finishing this week their time as church planting residents, and they are about to be released back to these towns where the gospel of Jesus will be proclaimed. Many of them heading into extremely dangerous territories, behind enemy lines, so to speak, and so we need to pray for them as they scatter beginning right here at the end of this week to take the gospel. From there, we went to Istanbul, where about 35 young believers in Christ from 12 different Middle Eastern countries in North Africa descended on one room. These were almost this entire room was first-generation believers from Muslim backgrounds, and they were coming from some of the most dangerous places in the world to follow Christ. There was a sweetness to these 4 days. There was just a deep, deep hunger and yearning for these young believers to be established in Old Testament history and New Testament and just the basics of the faith. And we spent our days in training, and then we spent our evenings with them sharing their testimonies. And their testimonies are simultaneously God-glorifying and absolutely heart-wrenching what they have been through. And yet as they would share how they had given their lives to Christ and all that it had cost them, there was a deep sense of worship to say, God is worthy of us giving everything for. And I just walked away from this week and want to relay back to you just a few things. There's brothers and sisters around the world facing immense persecution, trouble, and hardship to follow Jesus. But I also want to relay to us that our King, Jesus, is doing miraculous work to call people in some of the most unreached places to himself. And it's beautiful to see it. Leaving the time with them, I was thinking, like, how would you describe this group of people that we interacted with for a week? And really the phrase that came to mind is this was a group of people, for the most part, who were just full of the Spirit. They were filled with the Spirit. The group, especially in Istanbul, they were still young in the faith. There were still elements of the Word of God that they didn't know, they hadn't been exposed to, but they were full of the Spirit. Now, this phrase, to be full of the Spirit or to be filled with the Spirit, is a phrase that we come to again and again in Scripture. And as we spend a series here talking about the Holy Spirit, it seemed good that we would spend a week seeking to understand what does it mean when the Bible talks about one being full of the Spirit or one being filled with the Spirit. That's where we want to focus our time here today. Throughout this series, we've talked about a few different terms, and it's important that we understand what we mean by different terms, because especially on the topic of the Holy Spirit, sometimes there can be differing of thoughts or opinions on what each of these terms means. But throughout this series, we've talked about that the baptism of the Holy Spirit is something that happens to us upon conversion. The moment we are saved, we are baptized in the Spirit. The Spirit of God then indwells or dwells in the believer, never to leave us, never to abandon us. But as followers of Jesus, anyone in this room who is in Christ is indwelt with the Spirit. Last week, Pastor Corey talked to us about what it meant to walk by the Spirit, that we, as followers of Jesus who have His Spirit dwelling inside of us, we do not walk by the flesh, but we walk by the Spirit. And then today we come to this theme of what does it mean to be filled by the Spirit. And I pray that as we look at this, that we're leaning forward in our seat a bit. That we're gathered here today longing to understand more and more of what it means to be filled by the Spirit and to be a Spirit-filled people. And so we want to look at that today. And so let me just give you the finish line of where we're headed today. Let me kind of give you the big idea of what we're looking to accomplish today. And it's this: to be filled with the Spirit is to live under the Spirit's control, which will lead us to build up the body, boldly witness to the lost, and grow in holiness. Let me just read that again. If you're taking notes, I'll give you a chance to get that down. To be filled with the Spirit is to live under the Spirit's control, which will lead us to build up the body, boldly witness to the lost, and to grow in holiness. I hope to just show us from the Word of God where we find this phrase that it's this kind of big idea that I think the Bible is getting after. And so I want to make our way to this finish line with just three different questions for us to walk through today. And the questions are this: what does it mean to be filled with the Spirit? We need to talk about that. And we need to really seek to understand when the Bible talks about that, what does it mean? The second question is, what does a life full of the Spirit look like? So what are the things that are to be true of someone who is full of the Spirit? And then the third is, how do we hinder being filled with the Spirit? And so we need God's help, so let's ask Him for it right now in prayer. Father, as we come before You right now, we do just acknowledge, Lord, that these truths of Your Spirit are spiritually discerned. Lord, without Your help, we don't understand and we can't understand. And so, Lord, as we pray each week, we ask You once again, would You open the eyes of our heart? Lord, would You let us hear what You have us to hear? Lord, would Your Word do what Your Word so powerfully does? Would it be living and active? God, would it teach, and would it encourage, and would it rebuke? And so, God, I just pray for every heart in this room. I pray for any distracted heart, Lord. Would You just minimize and let those distractions leave? I pray for, Lord, any sleepy heart. Would You just bring would you just awaken them, Lord? Awaken them to You. God, I pray for any hurting heart in here today. Would You bring a great sense of peace and calm over them? God, I pray for anyone in this room, as we were worshiping, You just put on my heart, Lord, anyone in this room who's just, they feel that their faith is just hanging by a thread, and like this Sunday, they're just kind of, this is the last ditch effort. Lord, would You blow them away with Your goodness, with Your nearness? Please, God. Lord, our tendency as human beings is just to kind of come and do this because we always do it. Lord, please let it not be. Would You do a fresh work in our midst? Would You do a fresh work in our heart? God, we're here for You. So speak to Your people, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. So let's start with this first question. What does it mean to be filled with the Spirit? And I want to try to get to that answer by looking at something we find here in Ephesians chapter 5. Let's pick it up in verse 15. And we come to these words. It says, look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, making the best use of the time, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit. There's our phrase. And then Paul goes on to say, addressing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody to the Lord with your heart, giving thanks always and for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ. And so Paul says something here, and we have it in Scripture in Ephesians chapter 5 as an imperative or as a command. And what the command is that we are to be filled with the Spirit. Now, what we have translated here into English of be filled with the Spirit could actually literally be better translated, be being filled with the Spirit. So there's this reality that as followers of Jesus, we're baptized with the Spirit the moment we believe, but we are to be a people being filled with the Spirit. That this is to be an ongoing reality to us, that the Spirit of God is to fill again and to fill again and to fill again and to fill again. And Paul lays out this command here in Scripture that we are to be a people being filled with the Holy Spirit. That we have it here as a command. As we seek to understand what does it mean to be filled with the Spirit, we start from this understanding that we're actually commanded to be filled with the Spirit or to be being filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, we kind of like, okay, how do we carry out that command? Like, what does that actually look like? Because in week one, we talked about there's some of the misconceptions around the Holy Spirit. And one of the misconceptions we said is the Holy Spirit is often understood as just kind of some mysterious force that we're trying to figure out how to kind of push the buttons all the right way to receive this force. But we said the Holy Spirit's not just some mysterious force. The Holy Spirit is the third person of the Trinity. And so as we come to this understanding, I think sometimes this topic of being filled with the Holy Spirit is where that can be confused the most, as if we're just looking to kind of some secret hidden knowledge of, okay, we got to figure out the code of what it means to be filled with the Spirit. But that's not in Scripture what you find. The filling of the Spirit isn't some like secret knowledge we're trying to figure out the code miraculously for. In fact, I want you to look with your eyes in Ephesians at what is to come. And Martin Lloyd-Jones, as I was reading this, really pointed this out well. That when we talk about being filled with the Holy Spirit, this has very practical implications for the life of the believer in everyday life. After we come to this command to be filled with the Spirit, look at the topics that arise. It talks about how we submit to one another. It talks about how husbands and wives are to live together. It talks about how children and parents are to interact. Ephesians goes on to talk about how bondservants and masters, how we're to live with authority in our life. It talks about the whole armor of God. The point I'm making is that an understanding of the filling of the Spirit is not some like secret knowledge we're trying to figure out. It has deep practical implications for everyday life. We must be people being filled with the Spirit when we go home and have lunch today. We must be people walking into work tomorrow, seeking to bring ourselves under the control of the Spirit. And so you see this command here to be filled with the Spirit, but what exactly does that mean? My grandpa, I thought, summarized it well. His name's Billy Graham, and he said this. I wish he was my grandpa. I had great grandpas, but Billy would be great. So in his book on the Holy Spirit, he said this: to be Spirit-filled is to be totally controlled or dominated by the Spirit's presence and power. To be totally controlled or dominated by the Spirit's presence and power. Remember again, the Holy Spirit is a person. So when we're talking about being filled with the Spirit, we need to have less of a picture in our brain of kind of we're this empty bucket and we're looking for a force to be poured into us. But instead, we need to have more of this perspective that the Holy Spirit, the third person of the Trinity, dwells inside of us, and we're bringing ourselves under the control of the Spirit of God. Martin Lloyd-Jones goes on to say this: when we think of being filled with the Spirit, what we really mean is that the blessed person of the Holy Spirit is controlling us, dominating us, and influencing us. We long for this, do we not? We often, when we think about someone controlling us, do we often think about that in a positive or negative connotation? But think about this, as followers of Jesus, the very Spirit of a perfect and loving God longs to control us, to influence us, to empower us. What a gift that is to us. And so to be filled with the Spirit, I'm arguing, and I believe based on the picture that we see in the verse here. In verse 18, it says, do not get drunk with wine. Don't bring yourself under the control of alcohol. Don't bring yourself under the control of something else. As followers of Jesus, we don't live under the control of other things, but instead be filled with the Spirit, or be being filled with the Spirit. Be bringing yourself under the submission and the control of the third person, the person of the Trinity who dwells inside of you. So we're seeking to live under that control. Now, how do we do that? I think it ties back, and we'll talk more about this later, it ties back to what we looked at last week, of what it meant to walk by the Spirit, to keep in step with the Spirit. As we keep in step with the Spirit, we're bringing ourselves under the control of the Spirit. So now, when we're under the control of the Holy Spirit, when we're under the influence, so to speak, of the Spirit of God, what does a Spirit-filled life look like? What does a life full of the Spirit look like? We want to know this, right? Like, we want to know what we talk about the Spirit-filled life, but when we look at Scripture and when we see this phrase appear, what seems to be true about how that gets played out in the life of the believer? The first thing I'll say under this is this. What does a life full of the Spirit look like? It looks like us being filled to build up the body. Look right away at what we find right after Paul writes to be filled with the Spirit. Verse 18, do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit, addressing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody to the Lord with your heart, giving thanks always and for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ. I want us to see something very clearly. Right after the command is given to be filled with the Spirit, you find immediately two one another's. There's a one another aspect that happens. Be being filled with the Spirit. What should happen? Singing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs to one another. There's a bodybuilding reality to us being filled with the Spirit. And this is so important. Because by nature, we live in a very individualistic culture. Often what we can do is we can take that individualistic mindset and we can apply it to biblical principles. And so how it works often around this topic of being filled with the Spirit, we think about it in the sense like, God, I want you to do something in my life. And Lord, do something in my life and make something of my life and use my life in a powerful way that I could do great things for you. And there's nothing necessarily wrong with that thinking. But sometimes we can miss out on the reality that our life is part of a bigger body. And we're just part of it all. And God is filling us with his Spirit for corporate blessings. That we would be singing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs to one another. As we're going to see next week as we study the gifts of the Spirit or spiritual gifts, God gives us those, and often we find he'll fill us with power to exercise those. For what purpose? For what purpose? Tell me. To build up the body. And so when we are filled with the Spirit, there's often this corporate reality, this corporate bodybuilding reality that is so powerful. I told you this week, what a privilege it was to spend time with these Spirit-filled young believers in the Lord. And these evening times were spent with just powerful testimonies of how the Lord had saved them and called them to himself. And there was, the very first night, an absolute gut-wrenching testimony of all that this man had endured for the sake of following Christ. And at the end of his testimony, they end every testimony by having some members in the room come and pray over the one who had given their testimony. In this case, the entire room came up and they were praying and they were lamenting. And it was the most vivid biblical picture of a lament that I've ever experienced in my life. They're weeping and crying and wailing in prayer to the Lord over the grief
in the morning of what this man had endured, while simultaneously casting their complete trust and dependence that they believed in the goodness of God and they believed in his power. And I mean, the room was absolutely just completely gut-wrenching and God-glorifying all at the same time. That moment ended, and the leader just said, we just need a moment. We just kind of need to let this breathe. And so everyone was just taking a moment. And one of the young men, probably 20, 21 years old, he just came back to by where we were, and through a translator who was right there, he looked at us and he said, and I'll never forget this line. He looked at us and he said, it is good for us to weep together. 12 different countries. Many of these countries, 99.9% Muslim, descending into one room where they could be a part of, where they were actually singing psalms to one another and hymns to one another, and they were lamenting with one another. And this young believer, he looked at us and said, it is good for us to weep together. When we are a spirit-filled people, we understand the blessings of building up the body of Christ, of singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs to one another, of exercising our spiritual gifts, not for our glory and not for the building up of us, but for the building up of the body of Christ. That's what spirit-filled people do. Because the Spirit of God fills us to build up his body. So what does a life full of the Spirit looks like? It looks like us being filled to build up the body. What else does it look like? It looks like us being filled for bold witness to the lost. Here's a theme we see every time we, you know, often when we see this phrase, to be filled with the Spirit. Flip in your Bible to the book of Acts, Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1, just flip in your Bible right there if you would. Acts chapter 1. In Acts chapter 1, verse 8. These are the words of Jesus before he ascends. He says, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. So he tells his disciples there, I'm going away, but the Helper is coming. And with the coming of the Helper, you're going to receive power. And the power that they're going to receive has what purpose? Power to what? Power to what? To be my witnesses. You'll receive power to witness. And you see this carried out then in the book of Acts. Flip in your Bible to Acts chapter 2, the coming of the Holy Spirit at Pentecost. In verse 4, we find this miraculous event that happens. Verse 4 says, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, there's our phrase, and began to speak in other tongues. And now we know what that means by the context of the rest of the story. They begin to speak in the languages represented in the area. Everyone will go on to say, we're hearing them speak in our own language. They began to testify to the gospel of the grace of God in the languages that the people heard represented there. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. So the Holy Spirit's empowering them here to proclaim and to testify, to witness to the gospel of Jesus Christ. Look at Acts chapter 4. Acts chapter 4, beginning in verse 8. We see this theme again. I'm just trying to show us the theme that where we come across the Spirit filling, we often see the Spirit's filling to give boldness to proclaim and testify about Jesus. Acts 4, verse 8, it says, then Peter, and here's our phrase, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, rulers of the people and elders, and off he goes. He begins to testify and give witness to the lordship of Jesus Christ. Look down in Acts chapter 4 to verse 31. Acts 4, verse 31. It says, when they had prayed, the place in which they were gathered together was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and continued to speak the word of God with boldness. The Holy Spirit fills his people for bold witness. The Holy Spirit fills his people with bold witness. Now, let me just remind us of something. I just want to remind us something. I want to remind me, and I want to remind you, because I need this reminder, and you need this reminder. Do you know those coworkers that you love who are lost, who don't know Jesus? And you're nervous to talk to them about it. You don't know how it's going to go. You don't know the questions they're going to have. You don't know how it's going to affect the relationship. Let me just remind us today, you have the Spirit of God dwelling inside of you. He is powerful enough to help you navigate that conversation. He knows what to do. He will embolden you for the task. Do you know those neighbors that you love? Or those neighbors you don't love? Or the ones you don't even know? You have the Spirit of God in you to empower you, to fill you, to testify to the gospel of the grace of God. And then maybe the hardest yet, you know, the family member you love? The one who you feel like if you have the conversation or if you circle back to the conversation for the 10th time, you just don't know if that's going to break the relationship in a bad way for good. You have the Spirit of God who will fill you and embolden you to testify to the gospel of the grace of God. I heard it once said, and it was a good thing for me to hear at the time. How often do we hear believers talk about, like, I just don't feel like I'm full of the Spirit? And I heard the pastor answer, well, when's the last time you've been faithfully sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ? And so the Spirit of God fills us to build up the body, and he fills us for bold witness to the lost. And then finally, the Spirit of God fills us for growing holiness. We are filled for growing holiness. We are filled to grow in holiness. I'm going to come back to this Galatians passage that we looked at last week. Galatians chapter 5, verse 22 talks about when we walk by the Spirit, here's the fruit of our lives, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. And those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live by the Spirit, let us also keep in step with the Spirit. Amen? And so what does this mean to bring ourselves under the control of the Spirit? I think Galatians chapter 5 helps us with Ephesians chapter 5 understand what does it mean to bring ourselves under this control. To bring ourselves under this control is to keep in step with the Spirit. Doc, can I steal you? You get to be the Spirit of God in this, okay? Don't let it go to your head. To walk in step with the Spirit, to be under the control of the Spirit means when the Spirit walks, what? When the Spirit walks, Spirit walk, okay? You're walking, Spirit. We walk. When the Spirit stops, we stop. I'm trying to get away from some kind of like weird mystical understanding, like what does it mean to be filled with the Spirit? It means we're under his control. We're under his dominance. When he turns, we turn. Okay? But here's the reality. Aaron, stand up. We also know that there's this flesh in play. Aaron, you get to be the flesh. Okay. There's this, right? On this side of heaven, there's this tension in which we live, where we are bringing ourselves under submission to one or the other. Hear me, we're bringing ourselves under submission to one or the other. And the Spirit of God is always more powerful than our flesh. I feel like I'm preaching right now and they're holding me back. Maybe this should be a weekly thing. But with the Spirit of God is more powerful than the flesh. Go back to that Ephesians 5 passage if we can for a minute. Go back to, yeah. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. I told you to go back to Ephesians 5, didn't I? I meant Galatians 5. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Do you believe that? The Spirit of God is more powerful than this. It's more powerful than the flesh. But we must bring ourselves under the control of the Spirit. How do we do that? By keeping in step with the Spirit. And so, what does a life lived full of the Spirit look like? It looks like one in which the Spirit fills us to be a builder of the body. It looks like one where the Spirit fills us to boldly witness. It looks like one where the Spirit's filling us to grow in holiness and to keep in step with the Spirit. But now an important question that we got to wrestle with here today is, how do we hinder being filled with the Spirit? We can hinder being filled with the Spirit. I think we see this especially in Paul's letters to the church at Corinth. When Paul writes that letter to the church at Corinth, you don't need to turn there, but what we see is Paul is addressing them as followers of Jesus, but he's addressing them as babies. He's addressing them as carnal. He's addressing them as though they are not bringing themselves under the control of the Spirit, but are often under the control of the flesh. And so we acknowledge this reality in the room today, that we can be in Christ and indwelt with His Spirit and not filled with His Spirit because we're hindering or we're walking in the flesh in some way. And so we hinder being filled with the Spirit when we walk in the flesh, when in the face of this tension we just illustrated on the floor here, we're just submitting ourselves to what the flesh wants and when the flesh wants it and how the flesh wants it. But there's also this reality that we hinder being filled with the Spirit when we quench the leading of the Spirit. 1 Thessalonians 5:19 just simply says this: do not quench the Spirit. That word quench means extinguish. Do not, where the Spirit is lighting, right? Where the Spirit is doing something, do not extinguish what He's doing. Do not put out what He's seeking to do. Where the Spirit of God is calling us to confess and is sparking that in our heart, when we don't obey, we disobey, and we just keep doing it, we extinguish, we quench what the Holy Spirit is doing. Where the Spirit of God is leading and calling us to something, and He has sparked that in our heart, and we disobey and we don't do it, we extinguish, we put out what the Holy Spirit is doing. How do we hinder being filled by the Spirit? We do so when we walk in the flesh, and we do so when we just continue to quench what the Holy Spirit is leading and guiding us to do as one of His people. And I better not light any more matches. And so, very simply, church, to be filled with the Spirit is to live under the Spirit's control, which will lead us to build up the body, boldly witness to the lost, and grow in holiness. Now here's the final song for today. I just want to seal what the work the Lord is doing in our hearts today. And we're not going to sing this, but we're going to hear the lyrics of this, and we're going to let the Holy Spirit do some work in our hearts as we just sit under these lyrics. But it's a hymn written almost 97 years ago, by Daniel Iverson. The hymn's title is Spirit of the Living God, and the lyrics of the hymn say this: Spirit of the Living God, fall afresh on me. Spirit of the Living God, fall afresh on me. Break me, melt me, mold me, fill me. Spirit of the Living God, fall afresh on me. As we think about being people, as we long to be people who live a Spirit-filled life, we must today look at each other and say, to live a Spirit-filled life means we are submitting ourselves to the control and influence and dominance of the presence of the Spirit in our life. For the building up of His body, for the proclaiming of the gospel, for the growth in our own holiness. We must acknowledge today that there's things we can do to hinder that by walking in the flesh, by quenching what the leading and the promptings of the Spirit in our life. And so with these lyrics on the screen over us, with Ben on the keys just playing behind us, I just want to ask the Spirit to seal what He needs to seal in your heart right now, just between Him and you in a time of quiet. Just take a few moments. What needs to be broken?
Where do you need to be melted? Where do you need to be molded? Where do you need to be filled? Where do you need to confess? Let's let the Spirit of God just meet with us in these moments. I'll come back in a moment to close this.